Okay, just lift. Oh, good. Because I'm practically blind, so I got to have it a little closer so I can see what's going on. Okay, Pastor Larry, thank you for the invitation. I'm excited to be here again. The first time I've gotten to speak here, but I've been here a couple times with Larry to listen to him, to watch him, to observe as part of the mentorship program. So it's good to be here and have a chance to talk. So I appreciate it. And Larry, welcome home. You were missed this week, so we're glad you're back. So thanks for what you did. Oh, so much I want to say. First of all, Larry, put your hands over your ears and don't listen. Okay? Don't want him to get a big head. What I want to say is your pastor is an amazing, amazing pastor. Okay? Now, I've known him for a little while now. I've worked with him. I got to do his mentorship program for his ordination. Amazing insight. He's an amazing man of God. I just can't say enough good things about him and just how fortunate you are to have him. With his background, he's got a lot of insight into how people think and what they do and why. He's just an amazing guy to be around. So enjoy him. Enjoy his ministry, because he has a heart for people. He has a heart for you. He loves his church. So that's about what I can say. So now you can take your hands off your ears. So that's it. Okay, today, I'm so excited, in case you can't tell. We're going to talk a little bit today. It's not going to be a traditional preaching at you, preaching to you, making noise and screaming and yelling and, you know, swinging from the chandeliers. This is going to be what I do best, and that's kind of teach. I've been a teacher most of my life, not in the public school system or private school system, but in the Air Force especially. I was instructor pilot. I got to teach people. I was eventually became the chief of B-52 pilot academics group, so I got to teach people. One of the fun things I had was teaching aerodynamics. I've never had an aerodynamics course in my life, but I got to teach aerodynamics. Let me tell you how much fun that was. Well, maybe I won't. We ran out of instructors. I was the only one available. So I got to teach that course to some colonels and generals. So yeah, that was fun. Because we had everybody from, you know, second lieutenants all the way up, you know, learning to be a co-pilot, learning to be an aircraft commander. We've had people who've been out and doing all these staff jobs at the Pentagon and SAC headquarters and things, coming back through to fly some more. So we'd have to teach them. And then we have the colonels and generals who are coming in to take over bomber wings, and they've never flown a bomber. So we got to teach them as well. So I did that for about 5 years out in California. A lot of fun. Enjoyed that. Enjoyed teaching. And since then, that's what I've done most of my life, is just teach in various aspects. I was a supervisor and got to teach, you know, new people into the company what we expect of them, mentor them through the process and help them to grow and develop and grow up in the company, you know, so that all of these phone people, you know, they became leaders and then they became supervisors and they worked their way up, and I was able to help teach them and grow with that. So all we're going to do today is talk. Now, what is one thing about talking? Two-way conversation. Right? It's not a conversation if only one person's talking. So, what do you think so far? That's it? Okay. Well, here we go. Let me at least tell you what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the basic differences between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In other words, it's basically Christianity 101. What is it about? Why is it important? What difference does it make? And who cares? So, Bible, old-fashioned Bible. Okay? Of course, I've got it, the Bible on my phone. I've got it on my iPad. I've got it several different ways. Old Bible. It's divided into two sections, Old Testament, New Testament. Another way to say that, another word for testament, is covenant. It's the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Or it's the Old Contract and the New Contract. However you want to look at it. So what's the difference? Question. Now I need an answer. Jesus? I'm sorry. Before Jesus, and then during and after Jesus. Okay. How was the Old Covenant established? Have you ever thought of that? How and why? Where did it come from? Did we have really have the Old Covenant in Genesis? Not really. Exodus? Nope. Leviticus? Nope. Well, I guess in Exodus we kind of did. Yeah, in Exodus. In fact, let's look at it. Exodus, chapter 34, verse 29. You've all got your Bibles in one form or another, right? Exodus, chapter 34, verse 29. Well, I'm sorry. That's the wrong verse. That's coming up in just a moment. Let's go back to Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments. That's the Old Covenant. This is where it's established. Not until Exodus. Long after Adam and Eve and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, also called Israel, and all these people, long after them. And finally, God said, here's what we're going to do. I want you to know exactly what I expect of you. This is what I need from you. So very simply, He said, honor me. I'm God. There is no other God. And went through all 10 of the commandments. You know, don't commit adultery. Don't do murder. All the things we're familiar with. You know, don't steal. Don't covet. You know, all those things. Honor your father and your mother. That is the basics of what God says the covenant with me is going to involve. You have to be perfect. In everything you do, everything you think, everything you are, you've got to be perfect. If you're not, out the door, bud. Well, that doesn't work very well for us, does it? So what's he going to do? I mean, this is the covenant he made with Israel and through them to the rest of the world, supposedly. So what's he going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to get around that? Well, God was smart enough to know that we're never going to live up to that. Not one person, except Jesus, not one person has ever lived up to that contract, to that covenant. So he made a way for us to get by. He says, okay, if you sin, kill this animal, you know, sprinkle its blood, and this blood will cover the sins. Won't get rid of them, but it'll cover them, and it'll be okay until the true sacrifice comes. So that's the Old Covenant. You got to be perfect or else. If you're not, well, we can cover the sin for a little while, but we can't really change you. That's the Old Covenant. That's the Old Testament in a nutshell. That's why, as you go through it, they sin and they repent and they sin and they repent and they sin and they repent. Because, for the most part, they weren't perfect people, unlike us. Well, maybe not quite like us. Well, maybe exactly like us. I don't know. It's amazing, though, because that's what God expects, is absolute perfection from his people. And he knows fully that we can never meet that standard. Isn't that amazing? So what could he do? What could he do? Yeah, he got this temporary thing going, you know, this little sacrifice thing that went on for a little while, but there's got to be more. What could he do? What could he do for us? What could he do for himself so that he could be with the creation that he loves so much? He sent Jesus, his son. And what did Jesus do? He died for us. He died for us. He died for us. Why? Okay, for our sins. To save us. Out of love. He paid for us. Because his father asked him to. Why? What difference does it make? The other sacrifices didn't help. Why would this be different? Because he was perfect. He's the only one who's ever lived up to God's standards. And when he willingly gave himself for us, when he willingly had his blood shed through all of the stripes, through the beatings, through crucifixion, all of that stuff, he made it possible for us to be changed. So if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You're no longer stuck with that old covenant of having absolute perfection as the only standard you can meet. Now, you're changed. Now, when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sins as much as he sees the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing you so you can stand as if you've never sinned. So, he can have fellowship with you now, which was something that very few people under that old covenant could ever experience. But now, it can be a daily thing. It can be an all-day thing. It can be a moment by moment by moment special time. We are actually talking to God and in his presence. And his presence can go with you all day long, all through the night, constantly, forever, being with you. So let's go back to that verse I started to read earlier, Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. And let's talk about something. Because if that old covenant, those Ten Commandments, if they all they could do was really provide us death because we couldn't live up to the standard of God, that was pretty horrible stuff, wasn't it? But Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, this is talking about when Moses went up on the mountain, received the Ten Commandments and came down. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Aaron, the Israelites, saw Moses' face was radiant. They were afraid to come, but he called them back to him. Afterward, the Israelites came near him. He gave him all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When he finished speaking, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. That's a pretty amazing thing. The old covenant was actually pretty glorious, because for the first time, he set the standards for us. We knew exactly where we were. We knew what it was like to be a friend with God. We knew all of that. And it was glorious to be able to know and be with him and to worship him one-on-one even, as a group, all kinds of different ways. It was glorious. But that glory faded, just like the glory that was on Moses' face. It faded over time. Well, the glory of that old covenant, it is glorious because it's God talking to us, explaining things to us from his perspective. You couldn't ask for much more than that at that time. So now, that glory, though, starts to fade over time. But then what happened with the new covenant, the New Testament? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll spend most of our time here, what's left. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts. See, there's one of the main differences between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Covenant was meant to be temporary and slowly fades and passes away, where the New Covenant is eternal. That's not going to change. And what is that? Again, God's forgiveness, God's love, God's presence with us in everything. And that's one of the things Paul tries to tell us here. Yes, the Old Testament was glorious. The Ten Commandments absolutely came with glory and God's presence and everything else. You know, there was the lightning and thunder on the mountain, and it was covered with clouds that didn't dissipate ever, and they were there for a long time. And God's presence was there with that giving of the Ten Commandments. But it was temporary, because it can't make a permanent change in anyone. Whereas the New Covenant, that blood of Jesus Christ comes on us, and it can change completely, change people completely. It's there. It's for us, and it's for eternity, if we're willing. So you see one of the differences there between the Old Covenant, the New Covenant. One is temporary, one is permanent. If we go on from 2 Corinthians 3, just a couple more verses, 10 and let's see, already 10 and 11. Actually, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, what hope is that? The new covenant, the glory. How much greater is that glory? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we're very bold. We're not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. And then we can go on from there. But that kind of gives you an idea of what it was like. They had a veil over their minds, basically, over their hearts in the old covenant. But under the new covenant, that veil is washed away through that blood of Jesus Christ. And we're made different and unique and holy. Even though, let's be honest, occasionally we might sin, just on occasion, rare occasion, not more than once or twice an hour, three times maybe, four at the most, possibly five, six. It happens. So why is that new covenant so different from the old covenant? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us every time. Once, the second time, the third time we sin, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. We ask Him to forgive us. We are forgiven. We are washed clean. And we now have fellowship with God once again. Huge difference. It's eternal. It keeps going. It makes a difference in our lives. Okay, let's go down to 2 Corinthians again. And I think we're going to just go over to verse 12 again. We'll start. Now let's go down to verse 14. Their minds were made dull, for to this day that same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. See, that's the old covenant still. It blinds your heart, it blinds your eyes, it blinds your soul to what God wants to say to you. And that veil is there under the old covenant because you can never meet His standards. So He says, sorry guys, you're just blind. You're going to stay that way. But verse 16, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. See, that's the new covenant. That veil is gone so we can see clearly who God is, who Jesus is, what He expects, what they expect. We can see the Holy Spirit and His working throughout the world and in us. We have a clear vision, not looking through a veil, not obscured vision. You know, it's kind of like flying into California. You know, I was in the Central Valley of California out there when I was teaching and flying and teaching other people to fly. And I'll tell you what, you know, we'd be flying our 8, 10, 12-hour missions, and we'd be up, down, all around. But when we came back into the valley, you start the descent, and you go from that nice, clean, blue air, and you hit about 10,000 feet, and visibility drops to about a mile and a half because it's just brown, green sludge in the air. It's incredible. Over and over we got to do that, you know, because we'd fly a couple times a week. And every time you come back in, you hit that dividing line from the clarity, the clearness of that upper sky and the purity that's there and the beauty, and then you hit mankind. Poof. Yellow obscurity. Looking through a veil, trying to see what's out there. It was a mess. And that is basically what God's saying here. You see God, new covenant, it's clear. Old Testament, old covenant, now you're looking here and visibility's obscured. You can't see a thing. But when you turn to Christ, then you see that veil is taken away, and now you're climbing out of the sludge and into the clear air. So now you can see. It's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. So verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So freedom. That's where we got to stop again, because there's too much involved in this. Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You're no longer confined. You are free to do what God wants you to do, what He calls you to do, what He asks you to do. You have that freedom to do it. Where before, well, no, I'm confined. I'm serving sin, so I do what sin tells me, not what God tells me to do. But now you're free. When you turn to Christ, you are given that freedom in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can lead and guide and direct every step that you want to take, and you're free to follow Him. You don't have to sin anymore. He gives you the strength not to. And yeah, we still do. But it's a choice, let's be honest. But we can still be forgiven for it. And when we do, the Holy Spirit again, we're free. We're free to do the right thing. Isn't that amazing? Old covenant, new covenant. Veil, visibility, clarity. Slave, free. That's the basic difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant was glorious, but it fades. The new covenant is eternal and never goes away. That's where that's at. So what do? Verse 18. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we're being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we reflect His glory. That's what the new covenant is all about. Like the moon, reflect the sun's glory. Well, we reflect the glory of God to those around us. We represent that light to them because we've given ourselves to the Lord. He's working in us and through us. And as part of that new covenant, we have the opportunity to reflect the glory of God, His goodness, His grace, His mercy, His peace, His love, and the list goes on and on of what we can reflect. And how do we reflect it? By demonstrating His glory, demonstrating His love, demonstrating His grace to those around us. That's how we reflect His glory, by doing the things that God would do if He were here on earth. Showing people, helping them know we care, and that He, God, can make a difference in their lives. Again, we are being transformed into His likeness. See, that's really what the new covenant's about. Us being transformed to be like Him. In all of His goodness, in all of His glory, in everything He does for us, in everything we do for Him, we are being transformed to be like Him. And in Romans, Paul said it's like transforming the renewal of our mind. And that's what it's about. Old Testament, New Testament. Old Covenant, New Covenant. Fading, eternal. Blind, clarity. Being transformed as we are as we can be. And with that, we can be assured that when the time comes, we pass away, we will be with the Lord forever. Again, not that doesn't end. It's an eternal situation. We just buried my mom about 3 weeks ago. And as part of that, my sister came and said, you know, Mom is now all that she ever wanted to be. She's complete. She's back. She's whole. She had severe dementia. And, you know, a couple days before she passed away, I spent 6 hours alone with her, or 4 hours alone. And there were six times during those 4 hours we said, and who are you? She had no idea who her son was. But now she knows. She's complete and whole. And that's what we have to look forward to. That's the transition from death into life. The Old Testament, the New Testament. The Old Covenant, the New Covenant. Over and over again, giving ourselves to God, being transformed by Him until He takes us to be with Him, where we will be transformed again and never change. Because God is God, and He's absolutely amazing, incredible, and here for you, providing for you over and over again with His grace, love, peace, mercy, goodness, all of those things. Just waiting for you to be transformed because you're willing to accept that new covenant rather than depending on the old covenant to try to get through it. So that's what I had to say today. So I'm done. Any questions? Any comments? You always have to ask that at the end, right? At the end of every class. Okay. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here and not falling asleep on me. That's such a change. So thank you. God bless you all.